In a sacred liturgy for today's Feast of the Transfiguration, St. Peter presents to us two somewhat different reactions to our Lord's revelation on Mount Tabor. From the epistle, we get his reflection, post-ascension. You know, Peter is writing in the early church after the ascension of our Lord and reflecting on what he had seen before our Lord had suffered and died. And then from the gospel, we get his first account, which was recorded by St. Matthew, but which was known to Peter and James and John alone. And so we hear about the way Peter reacted at the moment that our Lord appeared to him and the other two. And initially, when this event happened on Mount Tabor, Peter was overcome with joy and in a way was kind of talking nonsense. It's good for us to be here. That part, of course, is not nonsense. It was good for them to be there, to see our Lord transfigured in their glory and to be strengthened and consoled in this particular manner. The fathers of the church tell us that our Lord did this for his closest disciples because he wanted to strengthen them against the scandal of the cross, which was about to come. And this is one of the reasons why at the end of the gospel he tells them not to say anything until he has risen from the dead. He wanted to plant this seed in their hearts because he knew what was to come and he knew that their faith would be challenged. But it was good that they should be there, and Peter, the nonsense part really is that Peter just wanted to stay there. We'll just get some tents and set them up and we'll just stay like this. We'll never leave. And you and the two prophets, Jesus, can just sit and talk and we'll just, that's the way it'll be for the rest of the, rest of our lives. And that was Peter in his impetuous manner and his joy at this vision at that time. And then when the whole thing is over and God has spoken from heaven and audibly confirmed the mission of his son, the cloud passes, our Lord's transfigured countenance dims again. And when they look up, St. Matthew says, they see only Jesus. But it's not a different Jesus, of course. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that the real miracle, the transfiguration, was not the bright light. It was the fact that that bright light wasn't always there. It was that our Lord shielded his glory from the eyes of men most of the time. At this moment, he let it appear. And so it wasn't a different Jesus. It was Jesus that required this act of faith on the part of the apostles. In the second passage, in which we hear St. Peter talking about the transfiguration much later, of course, he talks about how he and those that he has taught have not followed myths or fables, but they have made known to the faithful the power of God, the very power of God coming from Christ himself. And he proclaims his being an eyewitness of this power and having heard from heaven the voice of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then he goes on to say this very interesting phrase, and we have the more firm prophetical word whereunto you do well to attend as to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So he finishes talking about how the Father spoke from heaven and he heard, and that confirmed in him the power of Christ. Then he goes on to say that we have this prophetical word, So in the light of, or in the echo of the word of God from heaven, St. Peter proclaims the word about Christ to the world. And then he uses this metaphor, which has nothing to do with sound, but with light. So the prophetical word is actually a light that shineth in a dark place, referring back again to the transfiguration of our Lord, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. And this is why we worship, you know, facing east, or at least here, liturgical east, we face the rising sun, because our Lord is coming to take us to heaven. And there are moments in our lives when we need to have this in a particular way confirmed in our hearts. And St. Peter knew this, and this is why he preached to the people what he himself had experienced, and experienced in such a way that he was being strengthened to endure the cross of the Lord. But he also realized when he preached that even though our Lord had done this for him, he still faltered on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. And so St. Peter is exhorting us with particular urgency that as we face the sun every morning and participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we will be strengthened to hear this prophetic voice and let this light shine into our hearts, so that we, you know, act under the influence of this voice when we are home or in the workplace or challenged by the bad news of which there is much, or whatever it might be. We have to treat every day and every moment as though it were the transfiguration. Our Lord wants to transfigure our hearts. It has to be internal. What St. Peter and James and John saw with their bodily eyes, St. Peter, in his epistle, wanted to be translated into a kind of spiritual light. And the dark place where the light needs to shine is in our hearts. So we ask for that grace today as we call our Lord down upon our altars, and he is transfigured before us in the Eucharist.